News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Now, to bring you up to speed on some of the stories you may not yet have heard, with me is David McRedmond, the Chief Executive of OnPust. And there's a couple of stories about interesting strategic choices, one relating to Mark Zuckerberg's metaverse. But before that, front page of the Irish Times this morning, David, very difficult situation two homeowners have gotten themselves into. Their 6,000 square foot house is about to get smushed.
Yeah, I know. The obvious thing to say is, first of all, it's sad from a human perspective. They talk about their children in their home. Mind you, the children do seem to be grown up. But it is sad from a human perspective. And then from the council side, the law applies to everybody equally, and people have had to get planning permission. So that happens.
And in this instance, they sought planning permission, and according to the Irish Times, were initially refused it, and then not only continued ahead with building the house, but built a bigger house than they had already asked.
Absolutely.
Oh, Lord.
And went back. Look, I think it's, I won't comment too much on the case, but I do think it seems fairly indefensible. There is a really important issue here around one-off housing, and in Ireland, you know, we've not been good. We build one-off housing, we've ribbon development, which is disastrous for infrastructure. We know that in OnPust. ESB will tell you. I know it from AIR, from telecom side. You know, if you drive through France, for example, you see just wheat fields for miles, and then you come to a French town, and then there's more wheat fields in a French town, whereas we feck our houses down anywhere. And that creates all sorts of problems. You know, we talk about the housing issue. I had to look for OnPust because that's a cost driver for us, the number of houses we have to visit. 220,000 houses have been built since 2015. That's the equivalent of all the homes in Cork, Limerick and Galway. But we haven't built them as a Cork, Limerick and Galway. We've just put them everywhere.
Road frontage out in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly. And so, you know, at the time the state is really challenged in infrastructure, we have to get that right.
And that's interesting as a cost driver for you, because presumably it is a lot simpler to have somebody who is running a postal delivery route through a village than it is stopping every 500 yards.
Completely. I mean, my colleagues across Europe, and they were actually all the CEOs were in Dublin recently, they're amazed at how we have to plan our network. You know, somewhere like Finland, they just drop to the local town and then all the people pick it up from the local post office or from lockers. So it's a completely different world. But look, there's a charm to Ireland. We like our country. We love our country. We like the way it is. We don't want it to be completely like these places, but we do need a bit of order.
Now, you have won multiple awards for your entrepreneurship and role in leading businesses and have significant experience in this area. I want your view on Mark Zuckerberg's Meta bet, because we were told that we were all going to be living in the metaverse. He renamed the company after it and sunk billions into it, and it seems to be quietly getting swept under the couch.
You know, and when I read this, and look, we've all been seeing this, this has been coming for some time, actually. It's not a surprise, really. But when I read it, I was thinking of the Apple Steve Jobs, you know, dictum, which is don't build technology, create solutions for customers. Find the problem and create the solution. But the problem, the virtual reality doesn't seem to be doing much of a job of replacing reality. And but sometimes you get this in technology. I remember in Aircom in the early noughties, the issue is which would win, mobile or broadband. And that was a big debate. And actually, you can argue both, but broadband by and large has won in that it's all about data and data access. Here, you know, AI is absolutely powering ahead, and OpenAI and Anthropic and these companies, which are doing phenomenally. And again, for, believe it or not, for OnPust, that's at the center of what we do. We are a frontier company for Microsoft, an AI frontier company. We use it throughout our network. But we don't use virtual reality.
But does it go down in history as one of the great strategic mistakes? I mean, to sink $80 billion into something that you then have...
He had a pretty good idea with, in the first place, with Facebook. So I think you could forgive him for getting something wrong.
Well, on the topic of economics and strategic decisions, there is a lot of discussion around Ireland's economic future, and the Stripe founders, we were talking to Joe about this earlier on, they have claimed that in a new report that Ireland needs to pivot away from its dependence on multinational companies. This is all well and good. The question is, pivot to what?
Well, it's also slightly ironic that it's promoted by Stripe. And listen, the Collisons are fantastic. I was lucky enough to be in Washington, D.C. to hear Patrick speak at the Ireland Funds dinner. He did a great job. And listen, they're doing great things by focusing back in Ireland. I'd say a couple of things. First of all, I do counter this idea, and I've talked to some people in Dublin about this, this notion that we have windfall taxes, that somehow it's accidental the multinationals are here. This was a government strategy. And we should actually be really proud that the government picked a good strategy. You talk about Mark Zuckerberg picking a bad strategy. We picked a good strategy. We encouraged multinationals to set up here. And guess what? It's a success. Sometimes in Ireland, we're more afraid of success than failure. You know, we're terrified by success because...
But do we feel a modicum of guilt about the manner in which we did it? The fact that we used EU market access, the fact that we used tax incentives, the fact that we used things like the double Irish, do we feel a bit grotty that we went that way?
I don't know. I certainly don't. I think we're smart. You know, if we looked at another country doing it, we'd think, wow, they were smart. You know, we look at countries who are powering ahead in other ways. You know, some are like Estonia and its digital agenda and things like that. And you're going, wow, they're smart. Let's learn from them. No, I think we did a great job. And I think these companies are going to be here for a long time to come. What's the alternative? Well, you know, the SME sector in Ireland is absolutely critical. And we need to get export markets for them. And on Pust, we've just opened direct to Britain to get over all of the Brexit issues and customs issues so that they can export far more easily there. We're talking in the United States about doing the same for the United States to open up markets for Irish SMEs there. But, you know, SMEs are quite big companies. They become big companies. And if you look at all the multinationals that have come out of Ireland, you know, whether it be Ryanair, CRH, Flutter, all of these started as small companies and they grow and we're good at growing them.
They also depart their listings, with the exception of Ryanair, for regulatory reasons, but that's problematic.
Exactly. Well, CRH, I mean, unfortunately, you know, that's where the concentration of capital is. In fact, there's so much concentration of capital in the US that they announced, I think, that they're going to delist from London and they're going to be just listed in the States, you know, so... That's world capital. Capital tends to move, our companies move to where the capital is. But
the EU is going to sort that whole capital markets union any moment now, aren't they?
Yeah, well, you never know. It's but I do think that the SMEs, I think that work of people like Enterprise Ireland, Jenny Melia, doing that work is essential.
Last thing before you go, David, we were talking to Cameron Hill there a little bit earlier on about Rory McIlroy's dinner choices for the Masters Champions dinner. Elk sliders. Have you ever had elk?
I haven't had elk very often, but I have to say I would love to go to dinner with Rory McIlroy. He's got impeccable taste. And I really admire him for not going down the bacon and cabbage route. You know, he went...
I think he threw champ in there as a side.
Chose champ and bacon-wrapped dates, which his mum makes. But he's gone full on the best menu you could possibly have, the most expensive ingredients. The wines are to die for. He's got a 1990 Chateau Lafite Rothschild, you know, which is about... €1,500 a bottle. I got given a bottle by Mark Cagney when I left TV3 and I still haven't drunk it. I'm afraid to touch the thing.
All I ever got from Mark Cagney was a warm handshake. David, thank you very much. That is David McRedmond, Chief Executive of On Pust.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.